The UW System Board of Regents is set to vote today on a proposal to merge the state's two-year colleges into the four-year institutions. The regents are expected to take up the proposal at a meeting today at UW-Madison. Since the proposal was announced last month, it's faced sharp criticism from faculty, from students, and from some Democratic lawmakers who feel the decision is being rushed through without proper consideration. Rich Kramer is WPR's reporter based in Eau Claire. He's been covering the developments on this merger. Rich, welcome to the program.
Glad to be here.
Well, let's walk through some background on this merger. Last month, UW System President Ray Cross unveiled a plan to merge UW colleges with four-year schools. What's behind Cross's thinking on this?
Well, the news broke on October 11th, and Cross's reasoning behind it was that the current model that the UW colleges was operating under is unsustainable, according to him. That's because enrollment is dropping at the colleges, and when we talk about the colleges, we're talking about the two-year campuses where students often get their associate's degree and then transfer to other UW four-year universities, larger schools. The enrollment decline at the colleges since 2010 has been 32% overall. Some schools have seen drastically higher declines in enrollment, specifically Marathon County in that same time frame from 2010 to 2017 saw a decline of around 50%.
So half its student body just going away.
Yeah, and also these schools don't have very high enrollment anyway. I mean, we're talking the hundreds of students, not thousands. So 50% makes a big difference.
And what about the demographic trends in Wisconsin? Wisconsin is aging, I understand.
Oh, yes. And this is going to affect far more than just the university system. But according to projections, 90% of the growth in the state will be in the 65 to 84 age group. And when it comes to college-age students, I mean, this is something that administrators have been watching for years. Coming through the high schools, the 18 to 64 age group, that's projected to grow by less than one-half of a percent over the next 20 years, 20 plus years.
Oh, so the bread and butter age of people who would be pursuing these two-year degrees, the numbers just aren't out there.
They are not. And what's also really important these days, with all the cuts to state aid going to the colleges over the past, it's over the past 20 years, really, these tuition dollars are more important than they've ever been for colleges, for the university system. So these kind of numbers, it means hard times are on the way.
So what does UW System President Ray Cross say?
Well, he talked to our, right after he announced the proposal on the 11th of October, he spoke with Hope Kerwan, who's our reporter in La Crosse, and she asked him about, you know, why this is needed, and this is what he had to say.
We're trying to restructure to help manage these demographic changes, allow us to be more flexible and responsible to those. We also wanted to work hard to maintain a university presence in these communities, which is critical.
So what he's saying there is basically one of the options, other than the restructure, in his opinion, was actually closing some of these campuses, and that's something that nobody in the UW system wanted to do. So the idea is that by merging these 2 years with these 4 years, you'll be able to save some administrative costs, and also you'll be able to increase the offerings at the two-year colleges, so you might be able to attract more students.
But some people aren't swallowing these enrollment numbers whole, I understand. Some have argued that the enrollment numbers are misleading. What do we know?
Yeah, with any set of data, you know, it's up to perspective, and there's all kinds of things that go into that. So some have pointed out that the numbers that they're talking about, the enrollment from 2010 being used as a benchmark, is kind of misleading because that was like a record year for a lot of these colleges. And in general, enrollment at the universities and the two-year colleges were near their highest points in 2010. So before that, the enrollment, you know, just you know, in the late 90s, enrollment at the colleges was similar to what we're seeing today.
We're talking right now with Rich Kramer. He's WPR's reporter based in Eau Claire. We're covering the developments related to the proposed merger of the state's two-year colleges into the four-year institutions. The UW System Board of Regents is meeting today in Madison to take up the proposal at their meeting. What do you think about this? 800-642-1234. Do you attend school at one of the two-year colleges? What concerns do you have about a merger? Are you an employer who hires UW graduates? What does the name on their degree say to you? 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Rich, how does this proposal, what is being proposed here, how does it address this root problem of the whole demographic shift, the whole decline in enrollment? How would this proposal make a difference?
Basically, it sounds like austerity is part of the motive here. Again, by merging these two-year colleges with the 4 years, you're able to really reduce the amount of administrative positions. Ray Cross has said that it is not his goal to reduce any faculty. You know, the idea wasn't layoffs. But since then, he's kind of changed his tune a little bit, saying that there's going to be administrative efficiencies, which definitely usually works out to some administrators losing their jobs. So that's, in a nutshell, what the money-saving plan is. But also, as I mentioned, the plan is to try to offer more bachelor degrees at these two-year campuses. It's about standardizing payroll operations, budgeting, hiring, and also one of the big things that President Cross has talked about, and not just him, but others in the UW leadership, they want to make it easier to transfer credits from place to place, from two-year colleges to four-year campuses. They've been working on that for a long time, but I guess, according to him, there's still some problems that need to be ironed out.
So stakeholders in the university system and communities, they still are feeling apprehensive here, feeling blindsided by this proposal coming out of the blue, they say. UW Chancellor Kathy Sandeen, what is she saying?
Well, I talked to her. It was a couple days after the plan became public, and she told me that she found out about this. I mean, remember, she is the top level leader for the UW colleges. She's the chancellor for the whole UW colleges, also UW Extension. And she told me that she didn't see the plan until 2 days before it went public. And I tried to press her on that and ask her why did she think that is, and this is what she had to say.
So this particular plan really did come together rapidly, and I think it was a feeling of urgency that we just need to make a move and do something because of these demographic shifts.
So, of course, you know, the leadership isn't going to disparage other leadership. And everybody that I've talked to in the chancellor positions have been very careful to say that this is something that everybody knew was an issue. The enrollment was it was just not getting better. So this is an idea that has been thrown around before, but just the way that it came out without top level leaders knowing about it prior, the exact plan I'm talking about, was kind of surprising.
Yeah, do you have any insights as to why campus leaders don't have a better sense of how this restructuring plan will play out in terms of bottom line numbers and in terms of employee shifts and layoffs? Why aren't those numbers more transparent?
Well, it's kind of a situation where, you know, we need to pass it to see what's in it. The resolution that's before the Board of Regents today basically says that we're going to merge these schools together. We're going to move UW Extension, which we haven't even talked about, into UW System Administration and Cooperative Extension with UW Madison. It says what's going to happen, but then it directs President Cross to do it. And I've talked with Chancellor Jim Schmidt. I've talked with chancellors all over the place, and the kind of consensus is that we're going to get the details after the decision has been made. And also I've heard through the grapevine that part of the plan is for Ray Cross to hire a consulting firm to take a look at some of these, how you basically mash together all these different administrative positions.
We're talking right now about a proposal that would partner each of the 13 two-year UW colleges with one of 7 four-year institutions, therefore making the college branch campuses of the larger universities. This is the proposal being considered today by the UW System Board of Regents, who could vote on the plan at their meeting in Madison. Rich Kramer stays with us. He's WPR's reporter based in Eau Claire, who has been covering this merger. You can join in, 800-642-1234. What do you think about this restructuring plan? We'll be back after this news update. UW system leaders have not disclosed how much money the reorganization would save the UW or what its impact could be on jobs that are now under UW colleges and Extension. And by the way, full disclosure here, WPR falls under UW Extension. We're discussing the merger proposal that goes before the UW System Board of Regents today. The plan announced last month would merge two-year schools into the four-year institutions. We're discussing what's at stake, what could happen at the Regents meeting today with Rich Kramer. He's WPR's reporter based in Eau Claire, who's covering this merger. Your thoughts as well, 800-642-1234. Let's go to John now in Three Lakes. Hi, John.
How are you doing?
Good.
I guess I'm for this and partially against it, depending on how like it would fall, but there is most certainly way too much administration in both the university and the technical school system in Wisconsin. You know, and one problem as far as a technical student is that a lot of money that should be spent on like technical studies gets spent on, again, like secondary administration, which is really unnecessary. So I guess it'd be a good thing if they could all get on the same page and kind of streamline some of these systems. It would be a bad thing if they just continue to keep the same amount of administration, lower the amount of teachers, and lower the amount of money that's actually going into the school. So, I mean, if they can use their brain and actually do what's best for the students, it'd be a good thing.
John, thanks so much for the call. Rich, what do we know about reducing overhead here?
Well, we've got kind of a case study because the UW colleges, two-year campuses, went through this back in 2015. They were facing a $5 million budget cut from the state, and Kathy Sandine, who is the chancellor, basically restructured, did their own restructuring. So they regionalized the two-year colleges. Again, there's 13 of them all around. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking from as far north as Barron County down to by Janesville. So they appointed, she appointed 4 deans as opposed to having deans at each school, and also had regional offices taking care of administrative activities. They were able to save over $5 million. So that's kind of gives us a little window into what might happen. But again, with this current restructure that we're talking about, nobody really knows exactly. You know, there's been no numbers thrown around. I think we're going to learn about that in the next 7 months. The plan, once, if approved today, and everybody that I talk to expects it to happen, they've got until July 1st, 2018 to make the changes.
John, thanks for the call. Let's go to Mary Jo now in Beloit. Hi, Mary Jo. Go ahead.
Well, my point is kind of on the same line as what John was saying, is that this is kind of a necessary thing that we're doing. Students these days are graduating with so much debt that they can't support the debt that they're getting out of college, which is why so many are living in their parents' basements. And it's kind of a necessary evil. The cost or the income that these kids are making is not keeping up with the cost of education, and therefore it's creating a lack of consistency for them. So despite the fact I think the college education is great for everyone to have the well-rounded education, including the humanities, it's
getting to the point where they can't afford to.
Mary Jo, thanks for the call. Rich, what did student groups, student leaders tell you?
Well, students were not very... I guess the general message that I've gotten from students and even from some of the administrators is that we're okay with the idea of the change, but no, a lot of people were upset with how it came out. Without the student group I talked with Alex Vernon, who he's the student government president at UW-Stout in Menominee, and they passed two resolutions basically criticizing, and both of them had critical language in them, criticizing the UW system and President Cross for basically springing this on people. They felt like they should have been included in the process, that stakeholders should have at least known this was coming and should have been asked for their input. And I can speak to the affordability issue and then the debt issue with students. And just in general, there's a big push in the UW system at the two-year colleges and at the 4 years to get students out quicker. You know, turnover is good. They get more, the schools get more revenue from tuition, and the students can get out with less debt. And part of the idea, at least at UW-Barron County, there is some discussion about whether or not aligning with UW-Eau Claire, whether or not they can offer three-year degree programs. That is way off in the future, but it's an idea that I've heard more than once.
Let's take another call now with Mark in Appleton. Hi, Mark.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Last two callers are unfortunately rather uninformed, which kind of there's been so little coverage about this. I mean, this is a sad day for Wisconsin because what's happening, the process was, had nothing to do with shared governance. But also just on facts, I mean, demographically, UW colleges, you know, they took the year 2010, which was the depths of the recession, the heights of when the enrollment would be because there were no jobs. But if you go back further than that, then actually enrollment is not down that much. Enrollment is also down because from the UW system, the budget for the UW colleges was slashed in a greater percentage than Madison. And so curriculum had to be slashed, which then drove students away. It's also kind of ironic because it's by far the least expensive part of the University of Wisconsin, and yet students went to the four-year schools when they lowered their admission standards because they needed more students. It all comes back to the massive cuts from the state government. People complain about the tuition. Tuition has gone up, went up in previous years because of the massive cuts.
Mark, thank you so much for your call. Rich, it seems also that you're getting a sense that campus leaders are really trying to focus on making this work and trying to make good on here. They know what their budgets are looking like, and they perhaps see the writing on the wall?
Yeah, I think they do. I mean, Chancellor Sandeen said that she has been afraid of these numbers. She's been dreading these numbers, these demographic projections, in terms of the number of college-age students coming through the pipeline. She's known that this has been a problem, and the worst fear that they've all had is that there will be campuses closing. The budget cuts definitely didn't help any of this, and whether or not if those budget cuts didn't happen, whether or not that we'd be talking about this today, who knows? But the sense that I got from some of the leaders anyway was that either way, this was going to be an issue, whether or not there were these cuts, whether or not they restructured in 2015, that this is a big, big shift. And again, as I said before, this aging of Wisconsin's population is going to affect a lot more than the UW colleges or the UW system.
Mark, thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Will in Madison. Hi, Will, go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I think Mark from Appleton is on the mark, no pun intended. I, as a colleague of mine says, in the absence of knowing, you make up stories. And I'm sorry to say the story that I'm creating, not knowing, is this is in line with starving the beast, quite frankly. This really is a top-down process that concerns me greatly without any shared governance in the process. And I'm very concerned for Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television, because they would be moved, if I have heard correctly, into the UW system process. And I don't know the politics at the moment where the system is under Ray Cross connected to the Walker administration.
And I'm sorry, we have to cut you short here. Rich, how would you respond to Will there?
Well, I can speak, you know, as far as Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television, we are waiting to get the details as well.
Yes.
We've got some of our leaders there at the meeting today. There's going to be a presentation, I think. But, I've heard a lot of people talking about the Star of the Beast idea, the idea that you cut funding, and then you go after an institution when it starts to suffer as a result. There's a lot of people who think that that might be the case. Also, the shared governance thing, that was a major theme. The people were not happy. I mean, the administrators and the chancellors that I talked to were very careful. You know, they had to toe the line, I would guess. But the students, the counties that I talked to, the county leaders, because, by the way, the counties or the cities that these two-year colleges are located in, the building and the property are owned by the county, and the counties pay. And they were pretty upset that they were not included in this. And also there have been accusations that the regents, you know, in past votes with regard to the freedom of expression, you know, the freedom of speech resolution that was recently passed, that these things are kind of foregone conclusions, that they're already decided before the regents even vote.
And we're gonna have to leave it there. Rich, thanks for taking the time for us.
All right. Thanks so much for having me, Kate.
Rich Kramer is WPR's reporter based in Eau Claire. We've been discussing the plan to merge UW's two-year schools into the four-year institutions. Now let's turn our attention to the Foxconn deal. Wisconsin's Economic Development Board, WEDIC, voted in favor of the $3 billion incentives package yesterday behind closed doors. There's been pushback from some lawmakers about a lack of transparency. WEDIC board members saw the contract before they voted. Details of the plan became public after the vote. Jason Stein is a reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He covers the state capitol and reports on the risks and potential rewards and what Foxconn brings to Wisconsin. Jason, welcome back to the morning show.
Thank you for having me. Good to be here.
Well, you've covered the board's closed-door vote yesterday. It was the culmination of a months-long process to approve the state's deal with Foxconn. You've had the details now for some hours. What is the big reveal here? What did you find in the details of this plan?
You know, top line, what we found so far, and I should say that, you know, I'll be digging through the contract all today, but certainly one thing that is new is there are some additional job protections that have been added to the contract in the wake of some pretty strong criticism from opponents of the plan about what protections there were previously.
What kind of protections are we talking about?
Well, I mean, probably the one that gets the most attention is that for the first time there were clawbacks added so that the company might have to repay some of the money if it doesn't meet certain job targets. And those clawbacks were guaranteed both by the parent company, Hanhai, Foxconn's parent, as well as by the chairman and founder of Foxconn, Terry Gao, who is one of the richest men in the world.
Is this contract pretty much everything people expected from it? Are there elements that might be notable, surprised people following what has happened in the last months leading up to this moment?
Well, I mean, there's still a lot of things that we have to go through, you know, in terms of the contract. And what I'm giving you is really just a first blush. And, you know, a lot of times things that are negative or difficult come out later, and they don't come out right away because they're not the things people put forward. But, you know, one thing that is certainly true is that there are a couple layers of additional requirements on the company to create jobs. this $3 billion tax credit plan, which most of which could be paid out in cash, is really in two buckets, one bucket for jobs and one bucket for spending on the plant. That, you know, the company could get all of that money by spending $9 or $10 billion on the plant and creating up to 13,000 jobs. And what is new is that previously there were no job creation requirements on the plant spending. I mean, obviously, if you build a $9 billion plant, you're going to create some jobs, right? But there was no minimum number. Now there is a minimum number of job creation for that money, and if they don't meet it, the company wouldn't get that $1.35 billion.
So is that what this whole nuclear bomb quote was in the deal? Democratic State Senator Tim Carpenter, you know, he first drew attention for what he called a nuclear bomb in the deal, and then he said earlier this week that leaders resolved that particular part of the plan. What was he talking
right.
about?
You know, we're still working through that. The board of the WEDC would not disclose what that was to us. I've certainly talked with Senator Carpenter about it. I've talked with other people who are familiar about it, who have said that was somewhat mischaracterized. But then they won't give me, you know, what the correct characterization is. So, you know, that's one of those things that I'm working on today.
So here we are with the contract. Are there drawbacks or obvious concerns in the agreement itself, in the wording, in the legalese, the language?
Sure. Well, I mean, again, you know, people that are smarter legal minds than me will be going over that today. But, you know, I think really the big picture is, again, there is, you know, more... there are stronger safeguards on the company coming and staying and creating jobs. But from the beginning, I think, you know, the really big question was not whether or not the company would come, but whether or not if the company comes, that's going to be a good investment for the state. Because remember, even if the company sort of meets all jobs targets and suppliers meet all jobs targets, the legislature's nonpartisan budget office has calculated that it could take us until 2043 to recover the state's tax dollars on the deal. So, you know, I think there certainly could be some hidden things. I'm not sure that's the right way to think about it, though. Mm. I mean, I think the trade-off is right there in plain view and has been there, you know, really since the moment Governor Walker and President Trump announced this deal in, you know, at the White House in late July.
So what is the right way, then, to think of this deal?
Well, I mean, you know, the state is making a very big, you know, it's a calculated risk, but taking a risk nonetheless on a, very successful international company that it will sort of transform our state's manufacturing sector, that we will get not only a factory that we've sort of will be paying more than 10 times more than we've ever paid for a factory in terms of economic development money, but that also there will be suppliers that will come, there will be spinoff businesses that will happen, that this plant will generate economic activity that is far in excess of the plant itself. You know, and that is really the central gambit of this whole plan, and I think how you feel about it depends on whether or not you believe that is true.
And the vote is one for the record books. It goes down as the largest economic deal in state history. Jason Stein stays with us. He covers the state capitol for the Wisconsin State Journal. You can join in this conversation about Foxconn, 800-642-1234. What question do you still have about the Foxconn deal? Does it make sense for Wisconsin? Did WEDC make the right move? Join in 800-642-1234 after this news update.